Good day, Saint. It's good to be with you again. I look forward to what the Lord has for us today. I will confess that what we're going to be talking about today, I kind of got a hint of it, but I felt like it was something else, and I kept pursuing it, and I finally gave in to what the Spirit wanted, and so I'm really excited. We're going to be talking about a series, Healing in My Redemption, so you can see already a tie to what we talked about with the book of Ruth. And today we're actually going to be talking about It's Provided by My Goel. So some of you who have heard the previous series, you'll have a little better understanding of what we're meaning here. And let me encourage you, if you missed that series, go back. I know the book of Ruth is only 4 chapters, but it is so rich. And I'll guarantee you, you will come away with a totally different perspective of the work of the cross on your behalf. Oh, just how thankful I am to Jesus for what He did in submitting to the Father and coming to earth for you and I. So let's pray before we get started this morning. Father, we thank You again for the series that You gave us the last time. We thank You that we see clearly, as You were the husband to Israel, that Jesus is the husband of the church. And we thank You for that. He gave Himself for us, just as Boaz gave all he had to Ruth. And so we just thank You for that. Now in Jesus' name, we ask You for revelation knowledge, change coming to our basic theology, even on healing itself. And we give You all the praise and all the glory for it in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, today, as we talk about provided by my Goel, and we're talking about healing, of course, being included in the redemption, that redemptive work, I want to establish a foundation today and do it a little bit differently than I've taught it before, that healing is both the will of God and it comes, or it is included in the redemptive work, and so it's included in our redemption. And again, that's provided to us by our Goel. And you're going to see the ties as we go through this study today to what we talked about in the book of Ruth as Boaz became the Goel to both Naomi and to Ruth. These first two sessions, we're going to be laying a foundation. And I want to do so because I think it's so important that we understand and are firmly entrenched, if I can say it that way, that the redemptive work is not just for our spirit man, but also for our soul and for this flesh that we live in. We must have a correct theology. I think too many people today haven't been taught on this. It's amazing. I was talking to a gentleman at church this morning about healing school and things that he has learned that he said, I didn't even know it was truth. And I just thank the Lord that He's giving us this instruction today so that we can pursue what is ours, what has already been provided for you and I. Now, this correct theology is absolutely necessary because how does faith come? And we have to have faith to receive. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word anointed. In other words, the anointed word of God. And so everything we get is received by faith. So it is so important that our theology is good so that we can have faith in those things that are already provided for us. Now, I can hear some people saying, well, I didn't see anything about healing in the book of Ruth, where the Goel and the act of redemption, as far as it was concerned. But let me just say that that was a type or a shadow or a foretelling of what Jesus would do. And it was what? It was in this physical realm because it was a redemptive work of a man for a woman or two women in this case. And it provided, as you saw, the lineage of Jesus, in the lineage of Jesus, a great honor for these two people, one of whom was a Gentile. And what I want you to see is that that was just a type. But now, actually, if you think about it, what did Boaz provide for Naomi and for Ruth? He provided the necessities of life. He saw to it that they had no lack. And you can directly tie lack to sickness in this physical realm. Every time we see a famine coming and there's great lack, then people are sick and dying. And even the words that are used, both in the Hebrew language and in the Old Testament, the word for evil, which represents sin, is the root word for lack in both of those languages. And that word for lack is the root word for disease or sickness or illnesses. So you can see that progression of evil, of having lack, and of then it impacting the physical body. So we can, in fact, see that. Now, again, I want to say redemption is not just for the spirit man, but if it's for the flesh, I don't want us to just limit it to that, because it's for the soul also. Spirit, certainly, in our redemptive work is included. The soul, the way we, our mind, will, and emotions, where we live our life from, it needs to be renewed. And we do that by renewing the Word of God in our mind. And then finally, our flesh is also involved in it. And so it's not just one or the other. It is about all three of these things. And it's really talking about us living a life that people can see. I mean, if our light is shining, it needs to be shining, a shining light in all three areas of our life. Now, the second item, and we're again talking about, I didn't see this in the book of Ruth, is it's really there, because consider the Redeemer of Israel that we looked at in this study. Who was the husband? Who said they were would be the husband to Israel? It was our Jehovah God. And then how did he, as the Redeemer who became the husband, how did he bring them out of Egypt, which is a type of sin, where they were under slavery and bondage? So suffering severe lack, overworked, physically depleted, soul having no hope. How did they come out? Well, Psalm 105, as we've looked at, verse 37, says, he brought them out with silver and with gold. So he brought them out a prosperous people, because he wanted to give them money, and there was a mission that they had to do to establish the lineage of Jesus and be a people of renown, as he'd called them to be. And then it goes on and says, and amongst his tribes, there was not one who stumbled. Now, that word for stumbled literally means weakness or infirmed. The Passion Translation for that says, he sent them away with both silver and the gold of Egypt, and not even one was feeble on their way out. Now, ponder that. This is a work of redemption. Think about the elderly men, grandfathers, who had worked as slaves making these bricks from dawn to dusk, day after day. Think about the condition their elderly body must have been in. And how about Aunt So-and-so who had had a stroke? Well, how did they leave? They left strong and whole, and they left a prosperous people. Now, I know that being a prosperous people and talking about the word desires for us to be that, and being a healthy people, are two of the most controversial. They create arguments between people. But yet I believe the Word of God is clear. Now, it's not just about what I think. It's not even about what you think. But it's about what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. And that's why I prayed today for revelation, so that we can see what the Word says, because it's not my thoughts that matter. It's the Word of God in this revelation from the Holy Spirit. The third thing I want you to do is consider Jesus and our redemption. And I want you to do this as we talk about Acts 10:38. I want you to be thinking about John 10:10. And you know it, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, life with abundance. And that word literally means overflowing life. Now, Think about that as we read this next verse. And I want us to get a different perspective of this verse. It says, and I'm out of New American Standard, this series, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, or really just says Jesus of Nazareth. The writers of the old translation put the you know of in there. Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. So the man Jesus was anointed with the Spirit of God and with the power of God. Now, does that create a resemblance in your mind to yourself? If not, it should. It goes on and says, and how he went about doing good and healing all. Now, look at who the all represents. Those who were oppressed by the devil. Good God, bad devil. Very simple theology. God does good things. The devil does bad things. And God does not use the devil to teach us something. But I want you to look at this last phrase. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. For his Father, if I can say it that way, was with him. Now, what did Jesus come to do? Well, he came to go to the cross, but he also said in the book of John, he came to show them the Father. You can remember this discussion in John 14. When Philip responded, show us the Father. And he said, what, you mean you haven't seen him? You've seen me? And so what Jesus is saying here is really, I'm revealing the Father and his will, which is to do what? To do good. And he went about healing. And that was one of the most prominent things that he did, delivering people from the evil to steal, kill, and destroy, brought to them by the enemy of our soul, the devil. And he gave them life and life abundance. The Passion Translation in that last verse says, he did wonderful things for others and divinely healed all who were under the tyranny of the devil. Now, we know when we were born again that we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and been brought into the kingdom of light of his dear Son. So now that does not have any dominion over us. He took that dominion in this redemptive act when he brought us out of darkness. So let's just begin by looking at a few scriptures today to establish this foundation of good God, bad devil, Jesus going about revealing the Father, and one of the key things he did was making people whole again in their soul and in their body. And then after the cross, he was able to do it also in the spirit. And everything we're going to be talking about here was kind of, it was on credit to Jesus for what he would do in the cross. So go to the book of Mark, the first chapter. Now, those of you who have been with us for a while know that this is one of my favorite accounts of healing in the gospel. And I want to just emphasize maybe a few different things today. Let's start in verse 39. He went out into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching or proclaiming, is really what that word is. What was he proclaiming? The kingdom of God is at hand, and casting out demons. Now, I want you to go through in your Bible sometime as you're reading through the Gospels, and I want you to mark everywhere where it talks about he was proclaiming, he was teaching, and then where there's something about deliverance from demons or healing. And you'll be amazed at how these two go together. So I'm just going to tell you boldly today, I believe that as this is revealed to you, that you're going to experience physical and emotional healing in your soul and in your flesh as this word gets down deep in you. So much word in you that there's no room for the stuff that has attacked you. Verse 40. Says, and a leper came to him. Now, you know, the leper wasn't supposed to come to him. He showed great courage in coming, and he was beseeching him. He was calling upon him. Sometimes that word is even translated begging. He was begging, and he was falling on his knees before him. So he was being humble with this, but he was doing so at great risk. And he said to him, and this is key, if you are willing. Now, what does this clearly show us? It shows us two things. That he is not in faith, because he's not coming saying, I know you will heal me. He has great hope. He has anticipation. He has certainly great need. But he hasn't heard that word in his heart that's given him faith yet. But the other thing that we see is his theology is incomplete. You know, what he's saying is, and he goes on to say, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And isn't that where so many people are today? I know God can. I just don't know if he will. And what they're saying is, I know God can, but I don't know if he's still doing it today. And if he's still doing it today, does he want it for me? And those are two critical areas that we need absolute clarity on from the Word of God, because that is what we base our faith on. Not what other men think, certainly not what I think, but base it on what God's Word says. So here's this guy is. He's coming with this, I'll say, incomplete theology because he's not sure. And he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. So he knows he has power. He just doesn't know if he's going to be willing to have it manifest on him. And then I want you to see in verse 31, and I really didn't see this until studying for this week, and it's verse 41, not 31, the next verse, that Jesus really, what he's doing here is correcting the man's theology and giving him the Word of God on it. And you're going to see when he does, faith explodes in this man. It starts out and says, let me just read the whole verse, and moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and he said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Now let's start back at the beginning. Everything that is happening here, from Jesus being on the earth to be able to encounter this man in his flesh, to his response to seeing the will of God in it, every bit of this is because of what this first phrase says, and moved with compassion. It's because of the love of God being manifested in and through Jesus to give up what he had to come, to be able to see this and see that his creation has been corrupted by the evil works of the devil. All of this is just an indication of the great, great love that the Father has for us. So as he begins this, correction is precipitated by love. And isn't that what Jesus said? I love those who I love, I chasten. Isn't that what the Word, who is Jesus, says? So this word compassion has got 15 letters in it. I'm not going to even try to pronounce it. I've seen it, heard it two different ways. But it basically means to have the bowels yearn, to have it deep inside. To have that love in where that spirit is of a man, I believe, in our gut, in the innermost being, to have that love work so effectively that there creates such great empathy and a desire to see this man whole that it moves Jesus to act. And how did he act? He stretched out his hand and touched him. And you know that a leper was not to be touched because the one who touched it would be unclean. But not in this case. In this case, the one who is receiving the touch is going to be made clean. And Jesus says to him, I am willing. So what he is saying right now is giving him the correct theology, the correct way of thinking about the will of God for his life at this moment. Now that's so important that you see that. And it's done so with great, great love. We might even say love stretched out his hand. Love touched him. And love said, you've seen, as I've talked about, 1 John 4, I think it's 8 and 16, where it says God is love, that you can substitute the word love for Jesus, for the Father in verses, and that's very accurate. So what is happening here? Jesus is revealing to him the Word of God, the truth, the will of God for him at this time. And what is it? Well, it's just what he says. He says here, be cleansed. In other words, be made whole, be made sound, nothing missing, nothing broken. All those words that we have used. Receive now the redemptive work that I am about to perform. And how does faith work? It works first by love. So this man is receiving love. He's experiencing love, but he's also hearing the Word of God, and his faith now comes. And look at what the result was in verse 42. It simply says, the leprosy left him. Now, when we speak the Word of God, when we speak that rhema, that word that we know is just ours at that moment that has been revealed to us, the word that we prayed to hear this morning, then the scripture tells us when we speak the rhema, it does two things. It tells the devil and his impact on you, it has to go. And number two, it also releases angels to serve us. They hearken to the word of the God. So this rhema, Jesus is simply saying what he's heard the Father say. So no answer to the word of God does devil have when we speak it in faith. He just has no response but to obey. So taking these verses and seeing now this man having a corrected theology, it is his will for me to be healed. It is his will that someone be healed. It is his will that I be healed right now. As he said, be cleansed. What does this say to us about ourselves today? Is it applicable to us? And I believe the answer to that is absolutely yes. I believe that healing is his will for all men for all time. But we must do what? We must receive it by faith, which comes by the Word of God implanted in us. Now, some of you may be saying, well, why does sickness exist? Does God permit it? And I would respond this way. No, God did not permit it, but God gave that authority and dominion over this creation in the garden to Adam. And when Adam sinned, then that's when disease really came into, sickness and disease came into the earth. And the earth became a cursed place. Now, some of you would say, okay, I can buy that. Then how can you say that healing is his will today, Minton? Well, what did Abraham say? Or what does the book of Galatians say about Abraham? It says that he was not moved by what he saw. So just because we see people being sick today does not mean that's the word of God. Let me ask you this question. Is it God's will that all come to the knowledge of him, or is it God's will that some perish? And you would say, if you know the word, God wants every man to be saved. Well, part of that salvation, when they take away the impact of sin for us, part of the impact of sin is this physical part that came with sin, this sickness and disease. So, two things that I want to talk about. Two questions that we must settle. The first is, the will of God has not changed for man. Now go back and think about the garden. What was there in the garden? God's perfect will for man. It was provision. There was all he needed. There was no sickness nor disease. Now, has the will of God then changed? Well, let me give you three verses, three witnesses. The first is in Malachi 3:6. So I want you to think about this now in terms of the garden and the will of God and his word also. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." Well, let's focus on the first part. "For I, the Lord, do not change." In other words, his will for men has not changed. His will for men was to, for him to be in a relationship with him, have fellowship with him, have a body that was healthy and whole and all his needs met. A second scripture talking about Jesus says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus and his values for you and I, his heart for you and I, has not changed. Numbers 23, verse 19 says this, God is not a man that he should lie. In other words, say, this is what I want, and then not do it. Nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? So he wants to make good everything that he's told us that we can have. Now, think about this, these scriptures we've just read. Jesus is the Word of God. John 1:1. These scriptures say that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same thing is said about the Father. So can we just say concerning the Word, the words that Jesus spoke yesterday, the words that are Jesus today, recorded in this book that we have, this anointed book, and the words in the future that are in this book, will they always be truth? Absolutely. So we know then, begin to see, that it is God's will, because of what he told this man, for healing to come to our bodies even today. Now you say, well, he did it for this man, but I'm not sure, would he do it for me? So here's the second question that we have to answer. Is this for me today? Is it his will for me? Or am I suffering for him in this? The answer is very simple. Jesus suffered for you, not vice versa. Romans 2:11. Is this will for me? And we're looking back at these verses in Mark that we just read about the leper. I know you can if you will. Romans 2:11 says there's no partiality with God. The New Living says it this way. For God does not show favoritism. In other words, he's not going to heal one and say, nah, I don't think it's your day today. What happened when they came to Jesus? Over and over the scripture says, I'm sure we'll look at it in this study at some point, he healed them all. Everyone who came to Jesus, the scripture said, he healed them all. Ephesians 6:9 says, and masters, giving instructions of men based on the Father's revelation to us, says, and masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours, talking about the Father, is in heaven. So in other words, he's telling, be cognizant of how your Father in heaven is treating you. And then it says, and there is no partiality with him. So here we have a second testimony, a second witness of that. You want a third? 1 Peter 1:17. Now, this is so important because you must not just believe that Jesus can heal. You must believe that he wants to heal, that it is his will, and it's his will for you. Just like I must believe that for myself. 1 Peter 1:17, and if you address the Father as one who impartially judges. In other words, he's not going to judge one man on one criterion and another on another. According to each man's work, and conduct yourself in fear during your time of stay upon the earth. So we have three witnesses that the Lord wants to do this. Now, finally, in 2 Corinthians 1:18-19, these verses kind of encapsulate all of this. And listen to what it says. Verse 18, 2 Corinthians 1. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. In other words, it's not just sometimes yes and sometimes no. 19, for the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, it was not yes and no, but it is yes in him. Now, what is he talking about there? He's saying Jesus is not going to show partiality to one versus another. if he gave his word concerning something, it's the same for all. And look down at verse 20 and you'll see this. But as many as may be the promises of God, in other words, what God said he wants to do for you and I, just as we saw in this healing example in Mark, as may be the promises of God in him, in Christ Jesus, they are yes. Wherefore also by him is our amen to the glory of God through us. So he's saying all the promises in Jesus are yes. And he said, all we have to do is say amen, which literally means, come on, you know it, we've just studied it, so be it. And look who gets the glory when we agree with the word of God. Not me. Not you. God is glorified. How? Through us and the healing that manifested. Now let's just take a look at a couple of covenant promises in the last moments we have today. Go to Exodus 15 with me. You know, so many people just have never heard this. And once you hear it and the revelation of the Holy Spirit comes to you. In Exodus 15, we see a covenant promise made. Now, let me say it this way. A covenant ratified in blood. And this is a type of what Jesus was going to do again for you and I. Exodus 15, it'd help if I would turn to it. And I want to start here today in verse 23. And when they came to Marah, children of Israel have left Egypt. They've shouted, they've rejoiced after they got across. We can shout and rejoice on the other side because we know it's ours. We know we're going to cross over. So they came to Marah. They could not drink the waters of Marah because they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And so it was poison to the cattle. It was unfit for man to drink. Verse 24, so the people murmured or grumbled at Moses, saying, what are we going to drink? And they were always talking about it. We're going to die out here. Then verse 25, Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now, this tree is important. It is, again, a type of shadow representing the cross, the bitterness of the cross. And he threw it in the waters, and the waters became sweet. So I want you to begin to think about and seeing all the bitterness in our soul, all the bitterness, the illness, the disease in our body. It got nailed to that same cross that Jesus did. He goes on and says, for he made a statute and regulation. In other words, he made a covenant promise. And there he tested them. A better word would be proved. He told them, do this and act on it. And that's how he does what with us today. He tells us something and he wants us to be obedient. In other words, to obey by faith. We may not understand it. And then verse 26, here he's putting the covenant talk to it. If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord and do what is right and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you that I have put on the Egyptians. Now, let me stop here. Because here and probably again next week, you're going to see some scriptures that talk about I put things, put things, put things. There is no permissive tense in a lot of the Hebrew language. And so you need to see that this is not just physically placing it. This is what comes as a result of their actions. And so it's a permissive type will. But why does the Lord have to have that? Because it goes all the way back to what we mentioned earlier for Adam's sin. So he says, I will put none of the diseases on you which I put on the Egyptians. For I, Jehovah, I the Lord, am your healer. So he has given them a covenant promise. Their Goel, the one who delivered them from slavery and bondage in Egypt, sent them out with health, sent them out prosperous so they could do his will, accomplish what he wanted them to. He reveals to them, I'm also your healer. That's part of the redemptive work that he gave them. And can I just say about us as we go through this study, you're going to see that the stripes that Jesus took on his back at that whipping post, they were deep. They were deep enough to cover everything that we can ever encounter in our soulish realm and in this physical flesh. How about going to Psalm 91? Let's look at another promise. The blessed Psalm 91, and I want to begin in verse 10. It simply says, no evil will befall you. Now, what does evil bring? What came next? Lack, and then we saw sickness. This says, no evil will befall you. Now, let me be clear. I am not saying you're going to be not going to ever be attacked. But when it comes towards you, it doesn't have to dominate and control you. You don't have to take it. And then it goes on and says, nor will any plague, which is a result of evil, come near your tent. So there is another promise we have. Are we declaring this verse that no COVID is coming near my tent? No cancer is coming near this tent? And this tent is, this body we have is just a tent that we live in here on this earth. Now look what else comes when we say these things. When we say the word of God, no evil will befall me. That's your word, Lord. Nor will any plague come near your tent. That's your word, Lord. Look what verse 11 says. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. So he's going to turn loose all those good things that the angels bring as we repeatedly say his word. And now, that's also what we see in the New Testament, and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But we also have scripture that tells us that the angels respond to the hearkening of his word, even in our mouth. One more in this verse. Look down at the very last one, verse 16. And I'm going to just refrain from quoting you 14 and 15. I personalize that through a tough time in my life, and this is a great testimony to me. Read those again. Declare them over yourself. Put your name in there. Say, as I would say here, because he, Minton has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set Minton securely on high because he's known my name, and so on. And down to 16. With a long life, I will satisfy Minton. With a long life, I will satisfy him. That's the promise that we have. Now, it's not just that we're going to, so it's saying you don't have to die early. You can believe for a long life. It's not saying that you're always going to have nothing come against you. It's just saying, I'm going to give you a long life, and this life is going to be satisfying because we've been made what? More than overcomers. So when disease or illness tries to come, we've been made more than conquerors. And then it says, I'm going to let him behold my salvation. What does my salvation, when it says my salvation, the Father is talking about the redemption, that redemptive work. What was he letting Israel behold? His goodness as revealed in salvation. Remember what Moses said, show me your glory? And he said, I'm going to let my goodness pass by you. Oh, glory to God. Now, I want to close with just three more scriptures. Galatians 3:13. And again, this is redemption via the cross. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. So Jesus was cursed because he hung on the tree, and he was cursed with those curses that were due me. Yours also. And if he took those curses, why should we take them again? Do we think his work was incomplete? Did we not look at the words of Jesus in the previous study? It is finished. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him, Father talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. Whose sin did he make him? Ours. What came as a result of that sin? Sickness and disease and lack and torment, no peace. All of that went to Jesus that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And we're going to pick up right here next week, and we're going to look at some things that are said in Scripture about the curse. And I want you to see clearly, the instruction is clear. We don't have to take it. Let me close today with Isaiah 40, verse 8. Because today is about building faith for that. It's about getting the revelation that healing is part of my redemption, provided by my Goel. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever." These words that we've seen today that says it is His will for us to be healed, that He shows no impartiality, and that His will and desires for man has not changed, that word stands forever. In other words, we can enjoy that now, and we're going to benefit from it throughout eternity. I hope this has challenged your thinking some. If we've had some what I have had pastors call stinking thinking, then I hope it sets you free from that. Let this word go deeply in you. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it. I know you're willing. I know you can, but I don't know that you're willing. And Jesus said, one translation I just love, "Why, of course I will. Be cleansed." That's for you today. We love you, and we'll see you next week.